Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. The United States Supreme Court yesterday ruled 6-3 in favor of preserving subsidies for the Affordable Care Act, handing President Obama a definitive win on his signature law. For the Republicans, this was a stinging loss, the final nail in the coffin on their attempts to undo what they've called Obamacare. The case at the heart of the ruling was King versus Burwell, a legal challenge that was based on a technicality. The Los Angeles Times explained that legal experts saw it, quote, as a fatuous misreading of the law and a tortured effort to bend the process of statutory interpretation for ideological ends, end of quote. But privately, some Republicans expressed relief, knowing that if 6.2 million Americans relying on subsidies had suddenly lost them, the GOP would have paid a stiff political price. Joining me in studio today is Paul Song, executive chairman of the Courage Campaign, a board-certified radiation oncologist, longtime activist in the fight for universal health care, and he was also named the very first visiting fellow in the California Department of Insurance. He's an executive board member of Physicians for National Health Program and co-chair of Californians of a Campaign for Healthy California. Welcome to Uprising, Paul.
Thank you so much for having me.
Welcome back to the show, I should say, since we've had you on before to talk about these challenges to the Affordable Care Act. Can you first explain the technicality on which the case was brought? There have been many legal challenges to the ACA. Was this a sort of last-ditch, desperate attempt to gut it?
Yes, it was. And really, it was based on some sloppy lack of transparency and reading of the bill that was written. So there was a clause in that that said that all of the subsidies would be set for people to buy health care under state-run exchanges. But as you know, a lot of the states balked at setting up their own exchanges, and the federal government was forced to step in and set up the exchanges. And what this basically was saying is that they were really breaking the law because it was only meant to buy a subsidy that was set up by the state but not by the federal government. Mm-hmm. So it was based on those few words. Now, yesterday everybody was, you had a lot of different opinions, but what we know about Justice Roberts is he's always about protecting corporations. And this was really less about protecting patients as more as it was protecting the health insurance industry, hospitals, and all of the medical corporations that would have really suffered a lot of harm, not to mention the 6.2 million people.
Right, because the subsidies that those millions of Americans are receiving are going to health insurance companies to provide these millions of people with health care. It's essentially the federal government giving tax dollars to help poor people get insurance from insurance companies that are private companies.
Correct. So I always say that this is less of a government-run program, but it's a corporate bailout. It really is giving people money to buy a product from a for-profit industry that only makes money by denying care. So, of course, Justice Roberts was going to protect the corporations.
Right. So it's interesting because the Affordable Care Act makes health insurance companies stronger, and this is something the right has always wanted, and they helped to write the law in the first place. So the challenges, the legal challenges, one after the other to the ACA, were ultimately always about delegitimizing or trying to delegitimize President Obama, since mm-hmm. this was a signature law, right?
Correct.
It was always a political move.
So it was originally touted by Richard Nixon as a foil to Senator Kennedy's more comprehensive health care plan. And then since then, the Heritage Foundation had always thought about this individual mandate, personal responsibility, and the idea of using tax credits to allow people to buy health insurance rather than setting up a more comprehensive single-payer healthcare system. So when Governor Romney did this in Massachusetts, you didn't have Republicans come out and really blast this. If anything, a lot of people thought that was a good idea. A lot of this, again, has to go to the fact that we have a president that is highly unpopular among the Republicans. And had anyone else proposed this, I think they would have thought, wow, this is a great Republican idea.
Exactly. Had it been proposed under a Republican presidency, we would have seen a very different approach. And so what it has ended up doing, looking at this entire fight now, is that it has left progressives with the awkward task of having to defend the Affordable Care Act, right?
Correct. So I, as somebody who wanted us to do much more, I have to say that it's very hard for me to defend certain aspects of the ACA. But there are people that are greatly benefiting. Those who prior to the law were facing lifetime caps where they would lose coverage entirely. Others, because of pre-existing conditions, couldn't get health care. So there are some really great things in there. The only problem that we see, certainly, is that there are still 35 million people that are going to be uninsured as a result of the ACA. The one thing that Democrats and Republicans could agree on when it came to health care was to exclude our undocumented brothers and sisters. The next thing was that the amount of lifetime or the yearly deductible meals for a family of four was now $13,200, and for an individual is $6,600. So that's a lot of money for most people. They don't have that kind of money sitting around. So the number of people that are delaying getting health care, even though having insurance because they can't afford copays and deductibles, is still too high. Just this past year, we had 1.7 medical-related bankruptcies in the United States, of which 75% of those people had insurance.
So 1.7 million
people in the United States. Now, and then this year, it's anticipated up to 10 million people in the United States who have insurance will get health care costs that they can't afford. So the idea that having insurance necessarily protects you from medical bankruptcies is a complete fallacy. We believe that it's, again, the insurance companies are really gaming the system. Just last week, just yesterday, once the news hit, their stocks climbed.
Right.
They're at all-time highs. They're making record profits. You're seeing more and more consolidation. And those are the issues that are not being addressed by the ACA. Mm.
Let's just for a minute talk about the fact that if the court had ruled against the subsidies in the Affordable Care Act based on this technicality, what would have been the result? Either millions of people would have lost their subsidies, or would Congress have gone back to correct the technical problem? Probably not, right? I can't see Congress going back with the GOP in charge of both the House and the Senate going back and rewriting it.
Yeah, so it was anticipated that of the states, the states that set up exchanges, or the people that were getting coverage in states that didn't set up their own exchanges and relied on the federal government, there were 6.2 million people, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And the problem would have been they would have immediately been scrambling, and there was no alternative plan in place, either by the Republicans or by the White House. The White House had no contingency plan in place, so it would have been a huge disaster. Mm. I think in the end, they really were confident that this would pass.
And of course, the GOP itself would have paid a political price, because very likely those people who are voters who lost their health insurance as a result of this might have punished the GOP from the long view, again, for those who want to see a single-payer healthcare system. And I want to get to the efforts on that in a minute. We often sort of fantasize theoretically about what it would take to get single payer, and a lot of people hurting very badly would have given more impetus. But of course, it's a lot of people hurting very badly, and nobody ever wants that.
Exactly. And I think what happens is when you call it Obamacare, a lot of people don't find it appealing, particularly those that live in these red states. But then if you look at states like Kentucky, where a lot of people...
Are you suggesting the people who live in red states might be racist?
Well, I don't know if they're racist or ideologically been brainwashed to believe that this is against their best interest. But if you look at states like Kentucky, which is traditionally a red state, they've set up one of the more successful exchanges called Connect, and you see the satisfaction increasing for people that have not had coverage before. With regard to how we get to the next step, I think it's going to be inevitable. Certainly, if you look at California, we have over $150 billion of unfunded health care liabilities for our state employees, many of them who are retired, and it's a ticking time bomb. One of the things we know about the ACA, while it's reducing costs, that still is a percentage of GDP. We're spending way too much as a nation. It's unsustainable, the waste that's there. And at some point, people are going to realize we're going to have to look at our most successful healthcare system, which is Medicare. Medicare is run much more efficiently. It keeps costs down. Patients are great, more satisfaction. There's less government interference between a doctor and a patient, unlike the private insurance industry. And it's just a matter of time where that's going to happen. Now, in 2017, as part of the ACA, there is a provision for federal waivers for states to opt out and adopt their own healthcare system as long as it meets the base requirements. And this is where I think you're going to see more and more states adopt that. New York, their legislature had passed, the state assembly had passed a single payer provision. It still has to go through the Senate and probably will not make it out this session. But the idea is that there's more and more people learning about what single payer is, and it's going to happen.
I'm glad to hear you're so optimistic about single payer, because having been in the position of having to defend the Affordable Care Act, it seemed as though progressives had sort of given up on single-payer health care. Single-payer health care, for those who might not be familiar with the term, is essentially Medicare for all, cutting out insurance companies altogether, where people simply pay their tax dollars to the government. That money, in turn, provides everybody with health care. Everybody's included, nobody's excluded. Now, in California, there, prior to the ACA, there was an effort when we didn't have a Democratic governor in office. What has happened to that effort, and has it essentially been trumped by the ACA? Does California have to wait till 2017?
So, yes, all states have to wait till 2017. Vermont had initially planned to start, but then they found it was just too expensive for them to adopt. And the way they approached it, I think a lot of people realized, was not the correct way. In California, in the past, we've passed single-payer bills, most recently SB 810, only to have it vetoed by our governor. When Governor Brown became governor, then it was very exactly Governor Schwarzenegger. When Governor Brown became governor, there was actually another opportunity to pass the bill, and that time, true Democrats who were beholden to the private insurance industry came out and voted against it or abstained. What we need to do, just like anything else, is to educate our electorate, educate the citizens about why single-payer Medicare for All is truly the best way. And then we need to start removing the corporate influence from our legislature, particularly the private insurance industry. The private insurance industry is doing just fine. Their CEOs, some of the CEOs, are making over $100 million a year in terms of compensation in stocks. And we need to show that that's money that should be better spent to actually take care of patients. You know, just this past year, Kaiser spent millions of dollars to defeat an initiative here in the state that would have regulated insurance rates. Because in California, the rates have gone up 153% in the last 9 years, whereas inflation has only gone up 29% and wages have remained stagnant. I don't know of any other industry that has had that successive rise, even in a recession. And instead of using that money to spread negative lies that protect the status quo, we should be giving that money back to the people of California. And the ultimate way to do that is to remove the private insurance industry entirely from the equation and let a true Medicare for All system work.
I mean, essentially, insurance companies are a middleman between patients and doctors. That's all they are, sucking up profits.
Absolutely. And the other thing I will say is,
I mean, they're managed care. They provide managed care. This is this term that they use.
Exactly. And unlike Medicare, which is completely undermined all the time by congressional bills that, really favor the insurance industry or the pharmaceutical industry through Medicare Advantage or Medicare Part D. Just an example, despite the fact that Congress makes it impossible for Medicare to use its power to negotiate drug prices, it still has lower administrative costs than the private insurance industry. But when you see United Healthcare use its market share to negotiate drug price discounts, it's considered savvy business or the free market.
Right.
But when Medicare tries to do it, it's considered government interference.
Wow. So very briefly, in this past week, despite the fact that the Supreme Court decision is a win, at least for people who are struggling and who have managed to get subsidies for their health insurance, another thing that happened was Trade Promotion Authority passed for the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And the way in which this is related to our access to healthcare is that the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade agreement, if it passes, well, if Obama brings it to Congress for an up or down vote, which is what he now has the power to do, and if Congress gives it an up vote in the majority, TPP will be the law of the land. How will that impact healthcare in the U.S.?
It'll be a disaster for healthcare. Many organizations who have been traditionally non-political, like Medicine Without Frontiers, Doctors Without mm-hmm. Borders, have basically said that one of the provisions in this will protect the pharmaceutical industry. It will prolong the length of patents. It will reduce the ability to find generic drugs, which are so crucial to keeping healthcare costs down in the rest of the world. There's a lot of other secret things in there that we don't know, but from what we can tell, it will have a disastrous impact and further elevate sort of the for-profit nature of our healthcare system.
Wow. So finally, going back to the issue of the fight for single-payer healthcare, is now the time for states, because our program is aired nationally, is now the time for people in states around the country to start building momentum for 2017 to get their state lawmakers readying a bill to transform their systems?
Absolutely. And one of the ways to start is this July 30th is the 50th anniversary of Medicare. So in spite of all of the lies and interference by the government, Medicare still remains our most successful program, and what we want to do is really build on that. And we want, there'll be rallies up and down the state, one in Los Angeles, one in Oakland, where we're going to be able to really tout what Medicare is about and why Medicare for All is the next step. So I would encourage all your listeners to really go to either the Campaign for Healthy California website or Physicians for National Health Program, PNHP's website, to learn more about what a Medicare for All system is about, to get involved, to really start to educate their family members, because whether or not we take the initiative route here in California or do legislatively, we need more of our electorate to be informed and engaged.
And that's Campaign for a Healthy California or Physicians for National Health Program. Paul, always a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much. I hope the next time we have you on, it'll be to talk about specifically how California is getting ready to adopt this bill for single payer.
I hope so too. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank My you. Guest, Paul Song, is executive chairman of the Courage Campaign. He's a board certified radiation oncologist, longtime activist in the fight for universal health care. He's also an executive board member of Physicians for a National Health Program and co-chair of the Campaign for a Healthy California. This is Uprising. When we come back, we'll take a look at another Supreme Court ruling that just happened this morning. The Supreme Court ruled 5-4 to legalize marriage. Stay tuned.